Welcome to the Ferris Love Podcast, where we share spiritual and practical ideas for how to live family life with a beautiful, self-sacrificing love. In this episode, we welcome Kenzie Covarrubias and Amber Hassett from Held in Hope to discuss how we can compassionately support women and families grieving a miscarriage. Kenzie and Amber share their personal experiences and practical advice for offering comfort, fostering hope, and nurturing charity in the face of loss. This conversation provides valuable insights for anyone seeking to navigate this sensitive journey with love and understanding.
Kenzie and Amber, thank you so much for being on our show today.
Thank you for having us. Oh, I said that in your
This is exciting. We have two people on the show, and we're just going to start right off the bat and ask, how did Held in Hope kind of come to be, and what was the inspiration for starting this ministry that you have?
Sure. So I, in 2022, so I have seven children. Sorry. But I had six at the time. I found out I was pregnant with my seventh. And I had found out that it was the first girl because I had six boys. And I was super excited. And I went to my 11-week appointment and there was no heartbeat. So I found out that I was going to miscarry that baby. When I left the doctor's office, I felt like in the moment, I couldn't really ask any questions because I was just kind of processing everything. And they kind of left me with nothing. So I walked out of the doctor's office, not really knowing my options. I mean, like I knew I had the option of a DNC, but I didn't know what the other options were, and like how to manage a miscarriage and things like that. So I went home, started processing it, and started Googling, which terrible. And I just kept telling Kenzie because Kenzie was actually the first person I told that the baby had no heartbeat before my husband. And then so I just was Googling and like, what do I do? And I kept telling Kenzie, this is crap. Like they gave me nothing when I left. And so I said, I really want to make something in the future for women so that they don't, so this doesn't happen again, right? And so in the Googling, I kind of figured out like these were the items I needed because I wanted to be able to bury my baby. And I really, really felt the desire that other women should know that A, it was okay to bury their baby. It was okay to feel such profound grief. And so out of that, Kenzie and I figured out how to put this kit together and we made the Held in Hope kit. Do you have anything to add to that?
I would just say that it was through this conversation that we just kept circling back to of women deserve better. Mm-hmm. And I will say that when someone has something placed on their heart so strongly, it's incredible what you can get done. Because it was Amber's motivation to do this. It was like nothing you've ever seen before. Like this has to be done. We have to make this change for women. And every day that it's not done is another day that a woman's going to go through a loss similar to mine, you know, similar to hers. So it all happened so incredibly quickly. And it was just a really beautiful, like powerful force of this has to get done. Yeah. And it just is such a good reminder that like good things can come from really, really hard things.
Yeah.
Wow. So you guys have this kit, this resource for women who have miscarried. Can you go a little bit deeper into those resources that you provide for them?
Sure. So one of the first things that I wanted to put together was the options for miscarriage management. Because when there's two things. One, most women are getting sent home with nothing, right? And so they don't know the options. They don't know what it looks like, especially if you've never had a baby. You don't know what a miscarriage is going to look like because you don't even know what a birth looks like. And so I wanted women to know what was going to happen. And yeah, if they decided to miscarry at home, and also what the different options were in order to manage that miscarriage. So the first thing we did was I wrote a whole thing that It's a packet that every woman gets in a folder, and it just goes through the different options, medical, surgical, or expectant
Expectant.
management. And then it goes through what each of those would look like from just a normal clinical perspective. And then it goes through when to call your doctor. It tells women if they want to bury their baby, how do you go about that? Because a lot of people have never dealt with death
Yeah.
before either. So,
And a lot of women that we talk to when we speak to women after the fact, they say until that point, when they got to that point in the packet, that hadn't even crossed their mind. And it might not have crossed their mind yet, but it is something that, depending on, how far into your pregnancy you were, becomes a reality. And women are not prepared for that, seeing their baby and then the shock of it. Do I even have, what do I do? So
right.
to get ahead of that so that they can mentally prepare for that, but then also, possibly have a burial for their baby.
Yeah. So then after that, we talked about the practical items women needed, right? So if you're going to catch the baby, how are you going to do that? So we provide a speci hat, which, if you don't know what that is, it's basically a little container that goes, it fits over a toilet seat. And then, because your other option is a colander, which is not a great option. So we provide that. We provide gloves, a peri bottle.
Just some maxi pads to get started with. We include a bag for placenta, so you could take that to your doctor for chromosomal testing. And then just yeah, another kind of giant pad. Just some of those things that you're not planning for. Most women are not prepared or planning for this to happen. So when they leave with the kit, they have the information
Plus all the practical stuff.
and the supplies. Yeah.
They're a
And
little.
then finally, it was really our desire to care for the whole person. So, the medical side of it, but also like to care for them, to show them that they're loved. So, Kenzie, go ahead.
Yeah, we so every kit has care items for mom. There's a miscarriage grief journal, and it's just lovely, and it has writing prompts in it. To encourage them to document how they're feeling, because in these moments you might not remember later. So when you touch base with your doctor, it's there. There's just some little candies in there. We have a lip balm in there, a hair clip, just things so that in the midst of all that is hard and mixed with the medical and all of that, there's also just some really lovely things. And that was really important to us, that our kit is lovely, is really just they can feel the care that went into it.
Wow. And it's like you said, when they leave the hospital or when they leave their doctors, they're not getting that. And so it's very probably heartwarming for them to have that. I'm curious, you had mentioned the idea that women don't really know what, if they never had a miscarriage before, even if they've never had a child before, they don't really know what's going on. Do you have any other kind of do you have any misconceptions about miscarriage that women might, or even family members, might have, or that you can address?
Yeah. Did you want to take this one?
I can start.
Yeah.
So I think one of the biggest misconceptions is that it's not a big deal. The medical community in general, to be fair, the medical community is not trained to, especially OBs or all doctors, emergency rooms, they're not trained to handle delivering the news of loss well. And so there's two things that play into it. One, they're not trained to do it, to deliver the news and to really be like, this is like they've lost a child, right? So the second thing is they're just so they don't want to deliver the news. This is hard news to deliver. And so instead of being like, I know this is big and I know this is hard, and people in general tend to do this, they act like it's not a big deal, right? So like I'm gonna minimize it in order so that you don't lose it, right? So that the mom doesn't lose it, I'm going to minimize it. That does not help at all because it is a loss, and regardless of how much the other person minimizes it, it's going to be just as big to mom. And on top of that, you're then confusing mom, right? So like they're acting like this isn't a big deal. I'm only 6 weeks. I'm only 5 weeks. I'm only 9 weeks. Why do I feel like this if this is not a big deal? So I think that's the biggest thing is you're confusing mom as to why she feels like she feels, and then she feels like she can't express that grief. Anything to add to that?
Yeah, I would say that with the misconception of miscarriages, I think that a lot of people do think if I minimize it, it'll help her. It'll help her move on faster, or any of the reasons why someone might choose to minimize, but that actually does more damage than good. I also think if we want to dive into, like, even in pro-life circles, I would say that we talk about the life in the womb when it comes to abortion. And we talk about the value of that life, but then when a baby is lost, natural death, in the womb, is that same, is that, is it still there to that same level?
And treating it with the same weight.
Yes, treating it with the same weight.
Yeah.
Yes,
Because
exactly.
that also, I think, leads to the confusion for women. They're like, well, everybody's so worried about like, why am I not getting the same? I mean, I wanted my baby, but people aren't reacting the same way.
And it's uncomfortable. We understand that it's
Yeah.
uncomfortable for people and they don't really know what to say. But I think that it's better to say something instead of say nothing. And it's better, I would say it would be better to show more compassion to show up too big than to show up not at all. And just to really validate that life that was lost. If you think about, you wouldn't say to a widow, oh, well, you're only married for a year. So, it just would be approached completely differently, in a different context. And when that is with the women that we speak to, when that piece is missing, that the compassion is missing, the support is missing, and the minimum when someone tries to minimize it, the damage of that is so long lasting. And that's something that it's an easy fix. If we just show up for women and if we just meet them where they're at and call it what it is, a devastating loss, that's really the piece that can make such a difference long term for a woman healing.
And I think some people don't want to talk about it at all. So they want to ignore it in hopes because they don't want to make the woman sad, right? Like, so they think to themselves, if I ask her if she wants to talk about this, she might be sad. She's already sad, right? Like, and you talking about it or asking her if she wants to talk about it, is that going to make her any more sad? And women, we can tell you want to talk about their loss because they tell us all the time. They find out we're in miscarriage care and they tell us their story.
Yeah, I feel like you asked one question and we kind of answered it and then are moving
No,
into other things.
that's perfect. Actually, that leads into my next question about how. So that was more, I mean, you talked about the medical professionals who are not trained to help in assisting kind of for more the mental and the aspect of preparing for that loss. How do like family members, husbands, how can they support their wives or their daughters or their sisters in that loss without being either too intrusive or, you mentioned women want to talk about it, but how would you suggest recommend that they approach those conversations?
I would say, you don't want to be too intrusive. I think that that is a fear that we have, and then it can lead to maybe doing nothing. We want to respect the woman. We want to respect her privacy and give her space and time to grieve. But often, again, that can do more damage than good. And we live in a world with text messaging, and goodness, send a card in the mail. That's not going to cross a line with someone. They can easily just, that you're not forcing them to talk to you. I would say continue for those people, like, how can I show up for my friend? I would say just continue to check in with her and remind her. A text message. I'm thinking of you today. How are you doing? I'm here to talk if you need someone, if you want to talk. Just those continual reminders. And I don't think that would overstep. I mean, goodness, she could mute you. She could, I can't see it right now. I'm going to put it on mute. But then maybe later, even picking up the phone, like, wow, she cared all through that time. And I know you've talked about your husband being there too.
Yes. So before I talk about my husband, so Kenzie would just text me and say, like, how are you doing? And I was so appreciative that she just sent the text, even if I didn't answer it right away. Like, she cared and she wanted to know how I was doing. And she kept telling me, like, it's okay not to be okay. So that was super helpful.
Yeah, because she wanted to bounce back really fast, and she wanted to feel better.
Yeah.
And I remember, I think we were like a week out, and you were like, "I'm just still really having a hard time, and I want to feel better."
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and
Yeah.
that's when I was like, "It's okay that
Yeah.
you're not okay yet.
Yeah.
Like, this is a big thing."
Yeah.
So,
Yeah.
yeah, that was good. And for both of us, I think,
Yeah.
because I learned a lot through her loss.
So for husbands though, the day the around the time that we were that I found out that I was miscarrying, my husband had been working outside on a retaining wall like all day, every day. And when I called him and told him that the baby had no heartbeat, he packed everything up. And when I got home, I say he just held the space for, it was a long time, for weeks. So he didn't try to go work on anything. He just sat with me. And if I wanted to talk, he would talk to me. And if I didn't want to talk, he just sat with me. And that was huge. That he did that. I mean, I understand not everybody has that flexibility or freedom within their work, but I was very grateful for our circumstances and that he could do that. I mean, we still had six other children running around, but the fact that he really held the space the whole time for me, and that was really beautiful.
Wow.
And circling back just to how people can show up and not feel like they're being too intrusive. I still, after my loss, I told very few people. It was early and not very many people knew. But my small circle that did know, they just did really sweet things like, "Hey, I just left a latte on your doorstep." And that wasn't too much. They weren't like knocking on the door like, "How are you doing?" They expected nothing from me, but they were there. So if you're wondering how can I support them, just think what would require nothing from them but show them that I care and that I'm here. And also the offer, if you want to talk. And when a woman starts to talk about it, just let them talk about it. And really let her lead, and just listen.
You mentioned an interesting point about being early on and only having told a few people. What would you suggest for women who, because everything's gender reveal, all these things, they do the posts on social media for, I'm pregnant, all those things. Like, what would you suggest for those women who are maybe embarrassed or feeling all those, feelings about the loss, like how about going about that? Do you think that they should inform everyone? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think
Because
it's so individual on what people want to do. We had told a lot of people. I also thought I was at the end of the first trimester, so like I felt like it was safe. With that baby. With the next baby, I didn't tell. I told like two people before the second trimester. And I think it's just really personal. And it was mainly because I didn't want to have to. I didn't want to, because it's really hard to say the words when somebody sees you and like, "Oh my gosh, I'm so excited for you." And that happened to us at a farmer's market. I went to a farmer's market and I just lost the baby. And this girl came up, she's like, "I'm so excited you're having a girl." And I was like, "I have to go." And I just walked away and my husband had to be like, "We lost the baby." And I was like, "I don't want to do that again right now." So my preference is I'm not going to tell anybody. But I mean, when I was pregnant with Hope, I was like, whatever, I'm so excited that I'm having this baby. If something happens, it's fine. I mean, we'll tell everybody that we lost the baby, but I want people to know because I'm so excited. So I don't know. It's so different with each baby, too.
Yeah, I would say too, a lot of times we hear of women that choose not to tell because, you know, in case something happens. I would say there should not be any stigma around losing a
No, there
baby.
shouldn't.
And that people are generally just very, very kind and supportive. Of course, like we talked about earlier, it's hard. And a lot of times people don't know what to say or what to do. But whether you've told people or not, I mean, your grief is going to be the same. There is, if people know, you know, so if you've told people and then you lose your baby, oftentimes, you know, that will lead to just a lot of support and an outpouring of that. And women who know that loss, like they will be praying for you. So I think that there is beauty in having that support. And if you've kept it, you know, close to your chest, if you've kept it to yourself, you know, I mean, it's personal. So with each one, it just, yeah.
But I don't think people should be like, if they want to tell people, they should tell people. Like, celebrate the life. Well, I mean, even if something happens, like, we celebrate the life. So.
Yeah, I agree.
With your interactions with women that you've helped in using in this Held in Hope, what are some things that they have found that have been very helpful in regards to like faith-based practices, whether that's prayers, whether that's, you know, small groups, things like that? What are some things that you have found for them that have been helpful in addition to your, you know, your kit?
Well, I think that having faith through any kind of hard time is incredibly important. And that definitely applies here. I think turning to prayer and turning to, you know, the hope that we have of being reunited with our babies, again, that can really bring peace. I would say just there are a lot, not necessarily faith-based, but there are a lot of really beautiful resources available. And most, unless you've dealt with it, you might not even know about these resources, which is why we do share them often. And we include a QR code that takes you directly to the link on the page on our website that lists them in every kit that's included, because there are beautiful resources. Some of them are free, many of them so affordable, and you can work with someone that specializes in this specifically, because it is so hard. I mean, this is these women, these therapists out there, this is what they do day in, day out. They work with women that have gone through loss. And so I encourage women all the time to just reach out to them, because sometimes that weight of loss can feel really just too heavy. And you know, you're praying through it, you're going to mass, you're all the things, and you still feel like this weight I'm carrying is too heavy. And that's when I encourage women, use these resources, because they have the specific tools to help you feel to lighten that.
So faith-wise, I have two, not resources that people can get, but two things that someone said to me. It was a priest friend of mine. Going through the miscarriage, he said, just remember that you have the grace sufficient to endure this, right? You know, with God's help. And then there's a very real anxiety that comes with a pregnancy after loss. And it's like the moment that you find out you're pregnant after a loss, the only thing you can think of is, am I going to lose this baby too? And so I was talking to the same priest, and he was like, you do not have the grace right now to endure a loss that is not happening. So that helped me tremendously to remember that I have what I need for the moment right now. And that is, I have the grace to carry my baby. And if I lose my baby, I'll have the grace to go through the miscarriage. And that was the biggest help for me with dealing with those anxieties that come after.
Yeah.
So,
That's beautiful. And I mean, it's a beautiful thing to remember too, because yeah, God gives you what you need when you need it. And I'm sure it's not easy to be like, okay, great. You know, like I can take,
no,
it's not easy,
it's not
but
easy.
just even, yeah, sitting in that. And, so I am just with women who feel such a tremendous loss. And you know, looking to, let's say, that future pregnancy, or even just looking beyond this loss, like how can women overcome this sadness and this, you know, sense of loss, in order to either, you know, just continue to find hope and joy in their day to day, or you know, and just kind of, yeah, embrace the reality of the loss, but then also find the hope that, okay, you know, I'm going to be okay in the future. Right now, I might not be, but I will be.
Yeah. I would say with any kind of loss, with any kind of grief, it just takes time. And trying to rush it to feel better, to get back to normal, it won't help. And sitting in grief for a while and going through those stages is really important. And that's okay. It's okay not to be okay for a while. So if you are feeling your loss so heavy, at times, that's fine. And I would say too, goodness, I just lost my train of thought, like right there. But
Well, I think, like, from a faith-based perspective too, like, we know that we have hope, right? Like, we have hope in the resurrection, and we have hope that one day we will get to, see our babies. And so I think that those reminders help, especially when you're talking to somebody who has faith. Now, I do want to add, because we didn't talk about it at the beginning, one of the things that our kit aimed to be, and Held in Hope in general, our Instagram, everything, was that we wanted it to be secular. And we don't have any faith in the, I mean, we pray for the women who receive them. But there's no direct links to faith within the box, because in order to get into hospitals, especially public hospitals that are not faith-based at all, we had to be completely secular. So I just wanted to note, like, when we are talking about the faith stuff, it's, you won't directly see it in the kit. Like, I mean, we are both Catholics. We love our faith, but it was really important to us that the faith of the person receiving the box would not matter at all in order for them to feel loved and cared for and to have what they needed.
Yeah, and we didn't want to miss women that needed the kit. We didn't want to miss them, in that maybe they would think, like, oh, this is a Christian box, this is a Catholic, so I'm not going to use it, because they still need it, and we still want to honor their life that they carried and the life lost, and honor that woman who's going through something really hard, and equipping them. So by making the box secular, we are able to reach so many
So
more
many.
people. And then hopefully in turn, it can bring about an understanding too of, I lost a baby. I lost, this child. And while the box itself is not pro-life, it doesn't explicitly say that anywhere, by honoring and valuing the life lost, it just, it is just in what it provides. So,
Yeah,
yeah.
exactly. And it's honoring the mom too, you know, like in that sense.
Absolutely.
And I love that, yeah, that it's a secular, because, you know, just because you have a faith means that it's not easier or harder, right? You know, and I love that you guys are doing that. That's incredible.
Thank you.
When I lost my thought earlier,
Yeah.
I got it back.
Okay.
I was just going to say, with grief, and when you want, you talked about getting joy and happiness back, it will come back. Grief The edges of grief in the beginning are so sharp, and you feel them all the time, and you think this will never get better. But when they say time heals all wounds, I would say yes and no. You'll carry that loss with you forever. But it won't be those sharp edges anymore. Those edges will soften, and it won't be such a painful thing to carry anymore either. And what I found is with our Instagram community, so I run our Instagram, and I see the comments every day. I get the messages, and there's really a lot of interaction there with women who've experienced loss. And so many times through their own loss and their own grief, it was so unbearably heavy in the beginning. It has lightened, and now they carry it with this desire then to help others. And so again, how it's turned into a more positive thing, and it can turn into a positive thing of like really cherishing, if they are able to have children, to be able to cherish those children, to be able to care for, a friend when they go through it. Just so good things can come from grief. And you can't really know that to the same level unless you have carried it. So there's an understanding there.
For sure.
But yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any stories from either people who shared from social media or from any other people that you've kind of come in contact with through your kits, through the resources that you provide that are kind of just inspirational, or even just how your services have helped women kind of through this time? If you, do you have any stories about that?
We do have some testimonials. We have some on our website, and I've shared a few on our Instagram and Facebook as well. But without anything too specific, I would say just knowing when we receive the feedback of this, especially women, well, when they've had a loss without the kit, and then they come back and say, "My doctor gave me a kit this time," or "I ordered a kit this time, and it made it so much better." That, I mean, we hope it's helpful to everyone, of course, but that to hear that response has been really like it made it so much better. Because we can never change, the devastation of loss, but to make it better is that was really powerful.
I've gotten messages from women that we've sent kits to, I mean, even recently, and she just sent me a text message and said, "I was so grateful to have this kit." Because it's interesting because so many women, at first, it doesn't cross their mind to bury their baby, but for them to come back and say, "I was able to find my baby," or "I was able to bury my baby," those are huge things because I think that helps so much in the grief and the processing and the closure to be able to find your baby and know that your baby's buried, like know where your baby is. I think is super helpful. And we've gotten a lot of messages saying that, like I was so grateful to be able to bury my baby.
Yeah, we spoke with one woman, and she said we were going over the kit, because while she's used to kit now, we also work with her like more in a professional capacity. So I was going through the kit and detailing it, and she stopped me and she said that right there, having that heart bag with the jar, that to me was the most important part of the kit, because she said, "Before I saw that, I didn't know I can bury my baby." And because of that, because, basically someone told me I could, I was able to. And that was so healing for her and her family. So just to have that closure. I mean, we know a funeral, a burial, it's such an important part
Of life.
of life. And to have that for your baby also. And that's not possible for everyone. Not everyone is able to find their baby. That's not possible for everyone, but for so many people, it is. And that's been really good. But yeah, just the messages afterwards have been really, really beautiful. that your kit was able to make this better.
Wow, that's incredible. Can you tell us where we can find you on social media? Can you give us a little bit about your website and how women can order this kit? Or do you have like a list? Do we have a list of hospitals that it's available? Or I mean, not like I'm sure that's a lot of hospitals, but just kind of how someone can get this kit. What other resources you can provide for women who might be struggling with this?
So our website is heldinhope.org, and our kits are available on the website. We've streamlined it a little bit so that medical providers or anyone that wants to order the kits in bulk, they used to have to fill out a form and then we'd invoice, and we streamlined it. It's all on our website now. It's very simple. And we're happy to answer any questions if anybody has them. But also, we ship out kits daily to individuals that order the kits. We can overnight them. In the event of a miscarriage, there's like a window of 2 to 5 days that the kits arrive. And our social media is at held.in.hope. And you can find us there. That's on Instagram. We're also on Facebook, Held in Hope. You can search us. And we aim to get back to people as quickly as we can with messages.
And then we are in hospitals and OBGYN. So if you happen to be going, I hope nobody listening to this ever needs it, but in case they do, if you happen to be going to an OB or to a hospital that is already in partnership with us, that would be given upon diagnosis.
Yes, and we are national, so we're kind of sprinkled across the United States. And hospitals, and then we work with just a lot of midwives and doulas. And it's been great to see churches have started to order kits just to have on hand for their parishioners and care centers, and just sometimes places that you wouldn't maybe expect, but they're like, I just want to keep a couple on hand. And that they see that need, and then they're available. So that's where
Excellent.
we
Well,
are.
thank you so much. Thank you for sharing this, and honestly, we're praying for you and your work, and it's an absolutely beautiful thing that you guys are doing for women throughout the nation. And thank you so much for sharing your own personal experiences as well as what you do with Held in Hope. So thank you so much for being on our show.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Ferris Love Podcast. In 2024, we want to reach as many people as possible. You can help by sharing this episode with a friend, subscribing to the podcast, or leaving a review. To learn more, visit us at ferrislovshrine.org.